If you're running a business right now, you're playing a game where the rules keep changing. Trade tensions, economic uncertainty, culture wars, the world is rapidly changing around us. And companies, especially independent and local businesses, are having to adapt faster than ever. That's why Mission Critical is evolving. We're diving deep with the founders, CEOs, and entrepreneurs who are navigating this chaos in real time. The ones making the tough calls, pushing through unpredictability, and proving that resilience isn't just a buzzword, it's a survival skill. How do you scale in an economy that feels like it's on shaky ground? What happens when US policy shifts send shockwaves through Canadian industries? And in a world where diversity, healthcare, and economic resilience are becoming battlegrounds, how do businesses double down instead of backing down? These are the real conversations that matter to business leaders right now. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical. Let's get into it. Please welcome Jen Harper, founder of Cheekbone Beauty, to our stage here. Now, this episode is made possible by MasterCard, as you're already aware, who, as we do, believe that when small business wins, everyone wins. And as a room full of small business entrepreneurs and small business owners, I think we can all agree that small businesses are really the heart of the business community, the heart of the cultural community as well, and we move culture forward. So a round of applause for yourselves as well, please. You know, we're so fortunate to be working with MasterCard. They recognize that small businesses aren't just economic engines, they're cultural drivers, community builders, and sources of meaningful connection. As a small business ourselves, we know that that path is never linear, right? As a business owner, every day is different. You're putting out fires, but also you're celebrating your wins. It's a lot of highs and lows, but it's a journey that we all love and share together. Despite what we go through as small businesses and entrepreneurs, really we are the beating heart of the economy and drivers of culture and impact. So we're really, really thankful that you can all join us in our room tonight. It's because of these things and more that MasterCard supports small business owners at every stage of their journey by understanding their unique needs and building tailored solutions to help them grow and stay protected in today's digital economy. So before we kick things off in our chat today, I'd like to pass the mic off to Nadine. Nadine Arus is the Director of Small and Medium Enterprises at MasterCard Canada, and with over a decade of experience in the financial services space, she develops strategies and builds meaningful solutions for small and medium enterprises in Canada to drive real value and empower the growth. Nadine, off to you. A round of applause for Nadine. Thanks, Nadine.
Thank you so much.
Jen, I'm so happy. We've had the chance to chat a few times, so I'm really, really excited that we have the ability to do so again with some new people in the audience, but some familiar faces as well. How is your day going?
My day is going well.
The day of an entrepreneur. What have you been working on lately these days? I also noticed that you have, I didn't notice, we already knew, you have some product
Yes.
on display here. Would you like to tell anyone?
Yeah, before we forget,
Yes.
I usually do. So we brought one of our best-selling hero products from Cheekbone Beauty. It's called the Unify Multi-Pencil, and it's actually designed, we developed this to eliminate the idea of liquid foundation, full face foundation, concealer, contour. The product does actually all of those things. There's one pencil out so you can swatch. We have 15 shades. I think we're starting on the left. There's like five deep. We start from 9 point. It starts at, there's 15. I'm not gonna go through every shade. But feel free, swatch, take as many as you like. I want you to fall in love with the products. I want you to share them with your family, your neighbor, your dog, whoever. As long as we can sell more of them, that helps us stay in business. But it's an incredible product. We've won numerous awards for it. And the feedback that we get from our community is incredible. I think one of the things that I've been most proud of over the last couple of years is, one, we've discovered our product market fit at Cheekbone Beauty. We have a 55 to 65% returning customer rate on our hero products, and the Unified Multi-Pencil being one of them, both at Sephora and from our e-com. And people that haven't been able to wear color cosmetics in years because they suffer from skin issues, sensitivities, autoimmune disease community. So if you know people in your life that want to wear color makeup and haven't been able to do it, and it's something that we actually haven't bragged enough about, but we've really nailed naturally derived color cosmetics.
Yeah, well, thank you so much for bringing that out. So don't be shy.
Yeah,
you know, explore, ask questions, and take some home for yourselves, your friends, and your family members, because we would love for you to kind of explore and try out the product. So diving into our conversation, Jen, you have one of the most powerful and personal origin stories out of like a lot of the entrepreneurs that we've had the pleasure and the honor of interviewing for our podcast and our magazine. For those who are unfamiliar with your story, can you just share kind of the, you know, top level notes of your entrepreneurial journey and kind of what started the, what was the origin story for starting Cheekbone Beauty?
Yeah, and I'll try, it's like very long, so I'll keep it as tight as possible. Back in January of 2015, I had like an actual pop out of bed, middle of the night dream, still makes me chuckle, because who has a dream about making cosmetics when you're selling fish? So I came from the seafood world, like legitimately was selling fish, worked for a company right here in Toronto. And I, in the dream, all I remember is three native little girls covered in lip gloss. I have no idea how I knew it was lip gloss, but that's what it was in my dream. And they had brown skin and rosy cheeks. And when I woke up that night, I had written down, like, I wanted to figure out, one, how to make this lip gloss, and two, to do something to support my Indigenous community. And so the world at the time, number one, this was the year the TRC released their final report, the Truth and Reconciliation Commission. So that was like this 6-year study on the impacts of residential school on First Nations, Métis, and Inuit communities across Canada. And the results were that it was really bad. And for many, many years of my personal life, I just thought I came from an extremely dysfunctional family. I didn't understand this term called generational or transgenerational trauma. So it helped enlighten me with that. But the crazy part was where that dysfunction comes from. 2 months before having that dream, I actually got sober. So I'd battled addiction and alcoholism for many, many years. And November 26, 2014, get sober, have this dream. And maybe that's why, like, you're in this, on this healing journey, this crazy, in this idea, this belief that I could start and work on this cosmetics brand. And I was a huge fan and couldn't understand why there weren't more brands in the world that I think focused on doing good instead of just making money. And I get it, business is about making money, but I was a big fan of brands like Tom's Shoes or Patagonia, where they had such a bigger purpose than just making products and putting products into the world. And I had this obviously new desire to do something better for Indigenous people. And not only was I on this healing journey for myself, but also recognized that, oh wow, why are the stories about our people always negative? And can we make a new narrative? Can we make a new story? And really, I had kids, and I thought about my nieces, my nephews, all of our communities have these kids. And if you don't see yourself doing powerful things, how are any of us ever to believe that it's possible for us? So that was literally what got us started 10 years ago, just over 10 years ago now.
10-year anniversary. Amazing. Starting with fish and now in beauty.
Yeah.
That is an incredible journey. And yeah, it's so true that so many of us who are in minority communities or underrepresented communities, a lot of the narratives are not always centered around joy and success. And so what you are exposed to growing up or kind of the next generation limits or expands what you think is possible. And so it's so incredible that you are building out a diversity of different narratives and stories that other, not even the next generation, people, you know, within our own generation can, so that they can understand what's possible and what they can do as well.
Yeah.
I love that. So much of your path has been about creating your own blueprint. Were there any outdated or preconceived ideas about entrepreneurship or even the idea of like what success could look like that you've had to unlearn along the way?
Yeah, you know, the whole like that you have to like, I think, stomp on people and be really mean or like this like bad business person to sort of get what you want and sort of like do whatever it takes. And especially as a mom, I really felt like, no, I'm not gonna give up something for my children in order to make this successful. But it doesn't mean I still haven't worked really, really hard and made sacrifices in other areas of my life. And mm-hmm. So I've always felt like there was this story that women, like, we can't do it all, number one, or if we do, we're gonna be, like, somebody's gonna be really negatively impacted by that. And I don't believe that has to be that way. I've made choices that my kids and family have still always come first ahead of the business. And I believe like there's so many entrepreneurial journeys and stories where it's like, that's not the case. But as a mom, I've never not, like, they were always number one and still are. And so I think that it's possible to do all the things and that you can be kind. And you don't have to be a leader that, you know, is dismissive or rude. And I think we can be kind and compassionate and have great empathy. And I think because of my personal journey, my leadership style has definitely changed, because the old person, like when you go through a massive life change like sobriety, that I don't like that old Jennifer. I think it's even why I prefer to be called Jen now, because it's like, even I felt like it was just this massive personal transformation, and that in my old career, yeah, I did. It was like, at all costs, you have to be successful. But when I'm on this new version of myself and this new business that I'm able to use, like we use the seven grandfather teachings from my Anishinaabe culture as part of our company's core values. Mm-hmm. And there's two that I'm really passionate about. It's love and humility. And it's very strange in business. You don't generally hear those terms for sure, but I really believe that when our team lives these values, these core values, it makes such a difference within our organization. And so when I think about my personal transformation, I thought, when building a company, why not build it with these values and have the people that come in and make this culture that actually believes that? Like, there's so many times I remember when you're in a sales career, which I was before, it is all like, you do whatever you can. You're only as good as the last sale. Right. And the team now, we're like, no, we have to recognize, okay, when we're wrong about something, that's where things like humility are really important, and recognizing, okay, we went down the wrong path there, let's figure something out and do something different. And then love is really embedded into our business in the sense that it's this principled version of love. It's not this the Hollywood romantic version that when we hear that word, sometimes we think of that. But what we do for people, the land, culture, community, it's all based on that principled version of love.
Yeah, and it is so true that, you know, there is no one linear route to building a company. Every company has their own journey and their own path and their own way of showcasing and exemplifying leadership as well. The other thing kind of that you noted as well is that what I find has been such a great discovery of, you know, just getting to know people within the small business community is how collaborative it feels like, in the sense that, you know, there is this idea, especially in large urban centers, that competition and business, you have to be a certain type of business leader or entrepreneur in order to get ahead. But really what I've discovered by getting to know so many people is that resource sharing, knowledge sharing, it helps. It's a net positive for everyone, and everyone can win. And there's so much room and opportunity to win together and just kind of raise all boats together when you are empathetic and when you are collaborative with others, other entrepreneurs that are behind you, in front of you. Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. And that's definitely sometimes not the case or the feeling. Like I've approached a business in my earlier days definitely as everything was a competition. But when you share knowledge, it is, especially in the small business community, we would not be here if it wasn't for the networks of people that come from these small business communities, whether it's at an event like this or another event where, I swear, every networking event I attended in the early days, I have made long-lasting friendships and business relationships that have helped grow Cheekbone Beauty. And it wouldn't be without this business community, like, we would not be here for sure. So it has been so valuable. And a lesson to myself was, oh, wow, now I work harder thinking about that whole cycle of giving back. When I'm thinking about someone or I see somebody post something, it's just about sharing, you're right, that knowledge of like, where, what resource do you have that you can share with someone? Yeah. And then it doesn't have to be like guarded and gatekeeped.
Yeah, people can win together, and it's not a mutually exclusive thing. You know, one person does not have to lose in order for another person to win. People can succeed together, right? And that, I think that's been such a great thing that I've been able to see just through listening to your story and so many other people's stories in the community. You know, small businesses make up the majority of the economy, 98% of all employers in Canada. Stakes are really high. In your experience, what does meaningful support for small business owners actually look like?
Oh, wow, that is such a great question, because we've experienced it on so many levels, just by not only attending and finding your community at events, but that's where then you engage with different corporations. When I think about just the early days, it's the immense support that came from, and I don't get paid or anything from like Shopify, but just like that group, when they were starting and building, they still had teams that were literally there on the ground, constantly supporting the Canadian entrepreneur. And I know that's spread for them all over the world now, but I remember back in like being at events at 2016 and 17, and like they're helping you and inviting you and introducing you to the right people to make connections. And that's happened on every single level. When I think about our bank, like I never in a million, because in the early days, no bank was ever even speaking to us. But because they're like, you sold fish and now go away. you have no experience, you're never getting our money. But now we got their money, right?
Yeah.
So, and have their support and nice big lines of credit that you need to operate a CPG company. But that came over time, and that continued building of that relationship. And for us, our bank has been such a huge support. And when I think about every group of people, whether it's like just that maybe small mastermind in your own hometown or a bigger, larger scale event, so there's just been so much uplifting. And I think about how important that is when we're gathered at those events. That's where really important conversations and engagement happen. And so that's been, honestly, we would not be where we are without the support of all of these larger corporations. When I think about our event last year, MasterCard was a huge sponsor. We have something I'm so proud of. When I had that dream, it was about giving back portions of our profits to community. And in the early days, I could not give back anything except some like cash and in-kind donations. And we finally, in 2021, launched the Cheekbone Beauty Scholarship Fund. So every year we have an event on September 30th, formerly known as Orange Shirt Day. We call it for our For Future Generations event now at Cheekbone Beauty. And the event only exists because of sponsorships from organizations like MasterCard and BMO, our bank, that we were able to have this event. We host it, we launch a product, and all of the proceeds from that product go to our scholarship fund. So we've been able to give back now. This year, we gave out 14 scholarships, but in total, since 2021, we've given out 30 scholarships to Indigenous youth because of the support of organizations.
Yeah, and it's tangible support, too.
Yeah.
I mean, qualitative support is so important, but it's also like cash makes
cash
a big
money.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the money that, because to have events, you know, everything's expensive, right?
Yes.
As a scrappy entrepreneur, that's so meaningful to be able to host a beautiful event where people can come and learn about your brand and then see what you actually do with you're not just buying. I always say we are so much more than the products or a lipstick at Cheekbone Beauty. Every purchase is like dedicated to giving back in some shape or form, and that only exists because of community support.
Yeah, I absolutely love that. You know, speaking of our friends at MasterCard, they've always championed small businesses, and they understand the importance of supporting the community. You know, at various different stages, whether you're just starting your company or you're well established, how important has timely access to these kinds of tools and resources that are financial or not financial, catered to the community and building your brand in your journey, especially as, you know, a woman founder, because access to funding is very disproportionate. And also as someone that is from a underrepresented community too, also very disproportionate access to funding and resources.
Yeah, that I think the last time I looked at numbers, and I don't know how or if it's changed, is probably reversed according to other metrics we see on the daily. But I think Indigenous women get their businesses funded at, it was like 0.00, I think it was 90%, like ever. And so the fact that Cheekbone Beauty is invested, one, by a VC social impact fund called Raven Capital, mm-hmm. we have the support of our big banks and the support of our credit lenders, is a massive deal. Like, that just has in history. So I feel like, I know another Indigenous founder, Bobby Reset, from a company called Virtual Gurus.
Out
of Calgary. And at the time when her and I both got funding around the same time, it was like that just hasn't happened in history that Indigenous women have received funding. So I feel super fortunate in numerous ways, because we would not be here. We would not be on the shelves of Sephora had we not received funding. That just could not exist. Mm. Everything that we've been able to accomplish over these 10 years just would not exist without the support of capital.
Yeah. When we think about other things like building community, you've got a very tapped in, engaged, loyal community on your social media. People are so well engaged with the product, love the product. What is that word? How do you define that word for yourselves as a founder, but also as a brand? Like, what does community mean?
Man, it is. I was just walking back from the washroom and a woman passed me and she said, "You're Cheekbone Jen," or Cheekbone. Most people don't know my name. They just call me Cheekbone.
Just your Instagram
handle.
I'm
wearing your blush. Yeah. And that feeling of people knowing and coming up to you, and people when, you know, have been on this, just different places, and people are pulling out of their purse like this, they need a new lipstick because it's that old, right? But they've been around the brand. They've been the ones that are here. We call them our Cheekbone Warriors. They're like our OGs. People will be like, "I remember the pink feather in the early days when I was in the corner of my basement by myself. I would pack and wrap every single order and put a pink feather in it." And so there's people that are like, "I still have my pink feather," like literally pulling stuff out of the, and so
OG
that,
crew.
Oh my goodness. And then the people that have found us and they're like, "How did I just find you?" And I'm like, "Who cares? You're here. And it's just, nothing exists without the support of your community, which are your customers. And that's the fact that those are the people that have helped you. When we think about our large scale funders, I just heard another entrepreneur say a quote yesterday, and we were in this space last year because it was a scary time for a lot of businesses. We were this close to not existing. And I think it was Mark Cuban. I was listening to a podcast and he said, sales solves all your problems. I'm like, yeah, it sure as hell does, right? Like, we've actually, you know, thank goodness for a Buy Canadian movement, because that just gave us a lift that we like needed beyond belief. And it's tough, and this business doesn't exist without that community, and they are everything. They've helped us develop products. They've helped us name things. They've helped us tell, like, I literally just had an influencer at my house yesterday to shoot content with us, but she's one of the influencers that has skin issues. So her and I are sitting down, and this is hilarious to me because we built a lab at our headquarters in St. Catharines, and like top secret in front of everyone here, we're working on skincare because people have asked us from our community, and we know our loyal. Like, I'll go online. Some people have placed like 80 orders. I was like, you don't need that much makeup. Like, who are you buying this for? And people, so we know that this core loyal fan base from Cheekbone, when we put out skincare, they will be big fans. But it's not something I'm just gonna pop into the world. We've been working on it for over a year now, and I am engaged with this content creator because she has skin issues, and so we're going through ingredients and talking about all of that stuff. And the fact that I have zero science background, but I cannot believe that I'm like literally formulate the products now, because I know what works, what doesn't, and I'm so well versed in color. So entering the skincare world was like, whoa, this is so scary. I don't know anything, but over the last year, I've spent so much time learning what ingredients will work for our clients and what won't. And none of this exists without all of them. They are everything. We try to just put content out there to keep them engaged, because that damn algorithm just is brutal, and it hates us, it feels like sometimes. We don't know what we're doing on TikTok, but we're there. I am the one, like every Tuesday, this is my day, is Tuesdays I make content with our social media people, and that's why you'll see my face all over everything.
Right, and ultimately, yeah, the community is the barometer. They're the ones that are championing you. They're the ones that are also giving you feedback, good or bad.
Yes.
And, you know, building on that, how has your community ever surprised you or pushed you, or even challenged you in terms of how you thought about your business, how you thought about your product?
100. I had no idea. So when I started thinking, okay, we're making, like, our whole space in beauty is we are a color cosmetics brand that legitimately puts people's skin safety and health first. And that is the clean category. I'm going to air quote it because it means absolutely nothing. It's a marketing term. There's no global regulatory body to define it. That's what clean beauty means. But what Cheekbone Beauty has done is, yes, human, super important. But what every other brand in that clean space has forgotten is the planet is just as important, because if we don't have somewhere to live, humans can't survive. And so we remove all the ingredients that do not biodegrade back into an ecosystem, which is pretty much every unsynthetic petroleum based ingredient in our products. Those are all removed from it. And so when you wash your face, when you wear our products, you go in a lake, ocean, everything will not impact an ecosystem in a negative way.
It goes somewhere when you're washing it off.
It all does. Mm-hmm. And there's ingredients that just don't ever disappear. And so we've ensured that in those formulations. And if that's what we were doing, that was the whole thing. But I had no idea that when things are more naturally derived, it's actually better for people in this autoimmune disease community that suffer from so many, like whether it's eczema or other skin sensitivities. And I didn't understand that my personal issues with, I have really sensitive eyes, so I could never wear mascara. I could never wear like eyeliner on the waterline. I would be like crying immediately. And when I was making those products, which came in literally April 2020, because when we first started formulating our own products, we launched our lipsticks in March 2020, and everyone knows what happens then. And I was like literally in the fetal position crying in my closet, because I'm like, I just spent all of this money to make this lipstick and everyone's putting masks on their face. And I immediately finally then peeled myself off the closet floor and was like, we have to make eye products. And I panicked because I'm like, I knew the piece of equipment we don't have at our lab is called a homogenizing machine, and that's the only way you can make mascara. Anyway, so I was like, I don't know how we're going to do this, but we're going to figure it out. And so we did. But I knew eye makeup was my issue. So I had to then start investigating every ingredient. Why are my eyes watering? Why are they itchy? And removing all of those things. And then once you remove stuff, you have to replace it with something. So a lot of innovation has happened in ingredient spaces. And so that's what we started working on. We started developing actually one of our own ingredients. But none of this happened. I always say I'm not the savvy strategic businesswoman. It's like that found me on the way.
Yes.
When we talk about the origin story, like I entered this industry like knowing absolutely nothing. It's almost embarrassing how we started, because the bar to entry in beauty is basically on the floor, because you can go to any manufacturer and say, make this, put my logo on it, and they can sell you a product. But the truth is nobody has any idea what they're buying or then selling to the customer. They're basically just a middleman and exchanging. And so I was like, no, we're not going to grow or exist like this forever until we actually get innovative and figure out how to make this stuff. And then that's what I went on that journey to do that.
Oh my gosh. That is a wild journey. And also to launch a lipstick right before before the
pandemic. Crying.
I also remember just kind of talking about when we think about what we put back into the earth and from the products that we use. I also remember a campaign. It still sticks very strongly within within my mind, and I remember getting that email in my inbox about a campaign around beauty products, and you're going to explain it way much better than I will, but like just in terms of like how, with the impact that it has on the environment and the names that you called the products, just to raise awareness around that too, I think.
Yeah,
right?
So yeah. It was based on the water crisis from First Nation communities, and mm-hmm. So my home community where my dad and my family live doesn't have clean drinking water, as many communities across Canada don't. And our agency that we were working with at the time, they came to me and they're like, we have this brilliant idea. We want to do this like shock and awe campaign about making lip glosses with E. coli, mercury, and lead. And I'm like, oh my God, what are you, like this, no, right? Immediately no. And then they were like adding, they wanted this idea of adding community names in it. I'm like, no, that feels not good either. But then I thought about it that like for the one day, and then I went back and I was like, okay, this part of it is brilliant. And I think I'm a marketer at heart and knew that it would be an amazing campaign and Sephora would jump on board. And so we did this, we sent PR boxes and all of the information and made like this little, like a 30, 60, 90 second commercial about the water crisis in Indigenous communities. And we said, you would never put this near your lips. Why should First Nations people in this country have to? And we won a ton of awards for that. So yeah. A really proud moment. And then Sephora, for the entire month of June, I believe that was in 2022, gave all the profits from Cheekbone Beauty products to the Water First organization, which really goes into First Nations communities and helps build water treatment systems. And I just went to my home community's powwow in June, and they have built a water treatment system. Yeah, it's incredible to see that work in action.
Yeah.
And not that, like, I think the donation from Sephora, like we're a small brand at Sephora, so it was probably not, I think it was $45,000. But to know that what Water First is doing is actually making an impact and that we were a part of that feels like a
tangible.
Big deal.
Yeah, no, that's incredible. I didn't even know that part of the story. So that's really amazing to see, because that campaign still sticks out to me when I think about the brand and just how much impact, and using your brand and company as a vehicle for a message and a perspective and to raise awareness for things that you care about. Because as you said, it's not just about selling lipstick. It's not just about selling a product. It's about a community. It's about a message. And that is literal proof that you can make an impact by doing that.
Yeah. And I always am really honest and I try to be humble as our company puts into the world, that it's, I really don't believe that, like, as humans, yeah, and Cheekbone's not gonna solve that problem, but we can certainly be a part of being a voice to something. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. How do you navigate something like vulnerability as a business owner and a founder? Because nowadays, founders are expected to be creating TikToks and sharing every part of that journey. I'm sure, as everyone in this audience probably can understand and relate to, how do you kind of navigate being
vulnerable as a founder? Is it kind of a space that you feel comfortable in or otherwise?
Yeah, Leslie and I were just talking about this, that we don't want to do it. It is hard, but we know that it works. And I feel like if I'm putting myself in the consumer's shoes, yeah, of course I want to know who's behind the brand. And I feel like people really do. And so I feel like we do owe this to give them something, a part of ourselves. I try to keep my, there's glimpses of my children and they're old enough now, I have to ask if they're ever allowed to be on my social media, because I'll hear about it if they don't, if I don't ask. And so I want to share pieces of me, the version that is the real me, which sometimes doesn't always feel easy, but I feel like it's just helped me be able to express myself more. And then it's also helped grow our community because people want to know who's behind the thing, right? And so I feel like we're living in a different time, and it's been super helpful. And people feel like they're a part of it when they do get to know you. And so I really appreciate that aspect of it, that we're feeling just so much more connected to them because we're sharing more.
And if you have people coming up to you saying that they still have that feather, they feel like they're a part of something and along that journey,
and they're connected. They are. Yeah, it is. I think the tougher part is when the negative things happen for those joyous moments when you're meeting like the real customers. But it's always, and it's so true, it's like anyone making the negative pieces are coming from people that aren't technically a part of that community. But the algorithm has no idea if something's positive or negative, so we have to take both of it. And I'm just trying to work with this algorithm.
Yeah. No, aren't we all? Is there a kind of unconventional trait about yourself that you think has actually helped you excel or been like a superpower that you didn't realize that you had?
Well, I kind of like own being Gen X. And I used to be like, oh, I have to hide how, like, no, you have to work, 6 a.m. to 12 p.m. And like, we do everything. We drank from a hose and like all of that weird, like we went outside until the lights came on. And I was like, it's true. Like, no parent was around raising me. We raised ourselves. I don't know how I'm still alive. And I own it now because I feel like I've gained my work ethic from that. Like nobody, I had a key around my neck, like all those, like latchkey kid, 100%. My parents were never there. Yeah. And what I'm thinking about my own children. I'm just like, wow, they can't even function. And they're 20 and 23. So, and they need so much help and support. So I was like, I moved out at 17 and never went back and asked my parents for anything. And so I know it's a different generation. And then I struggled with this when I started to hire people because it's a whole new world. So I had to become a lot less Gen X, I guess.
Right. we've talked about in our chat just all the incredible things that you've done through your business. Just building a business, first of all, is hard, and just the landscape, the world that we're in, but also everything that you've done for the community too. If we look forward, what is something that really excites you about, let's say, the next 5 years that you're working on, or just as a founder in your own personal journey?
I'm really excited, obviously, making the things is what I love to do the most, but like the real worky side of things, we are doing something in our operations department right now that is absolutely wild, and I'm so proud of it because I've learned that over the last few years, we are not in the beauty industry, we're actually in like an operations logistics company, and if we didn't figure that out, we're not going to have a company. And so our whole team has been heavily invested in building this out. Like we had to start over from the ground up. I'm like, how did we even get this far with us not doing it? Yeah, it's really, again, another embarrassing trait of like, we were just like flying by this. But anyway, it's looking incredible. These spreadsheets are the most beautiful spreadsheets that I've ever seen in my entire life. And I'm so proud that like we're even, from what we donate now, we're like, no, we're forecasting that we're going to donate this much in terms of product and know exactly how many Sephora's are getting this many testers, and like that's it, because this is what we're, so just being able to do that this year and see that we have scaled and have these plans to scale. And when this, that is, you know, it's just all of those things really, really matter. And if you can't do them as an entrepreneur, I'm like, my biggest advice right now is like, figure that stuff out as soon as you absolutely possibly can, because it is literally, we wouldn't exist if we didn't like literally sit down and figure out exactly how many lipsticks of this one in particular shade we needed to make, and not make too many, because you could be in big trouble if there's too many, and you'll be in big trouble if there's not enough. And it's really hard.
Yeah.
But I'm so proud that that's happening. And I feel like that's going to take us to the next level. We've expanded into so many places this year. We are on the shopping channel, and that's been just like an incredible experience. I can't believe how fun it is. I was so nervous. We just did our second day. So we were going on once a quarter for this year, and we just did our second one. And it's an amazing operate. Like, I was like, I had no idea there's like no people that work there. It's like robots everywhere. Even their cameras are all robotic. And the hosts are obviously real people. They're not robots. Yet. I'm imagining Rogers is going to make sure robots do everything. And it was just so fun, and just to see this whole new community of people learn about Cheekbone and discover our products, because we sold out the first day on our first episode, or they're called segments, but we did 3 segments. We sold out in the second and didn't even have to go on the third.
Wow.
Which is amazing. Not really, because it was the Leafs and they lost that, but that was the game, right? But anyway, I was really worried. I was like, no one's gonna watch this tonight, right? So anyway, we didn't have to, because we had sold out. And then we sold out of another kit on our episodes or segments that just happened. And so that's been amazing. And then just expanding and seeing new products at Sephora, watching our stuff grow at Sephora. And we went into so many more places, and the plan is retail expansion in a massive way in this year in Canada. Like, I want to be the Canadian brand that, especially as the OG Canadians, if you will, brand that exists in this country.
I love that. I love that. I mean, I was going to ask, like, what is something that I believe in putting out your intention into the world, manifesting. Mm. So, what would be like your North Star that we can collectively as a room manifest for you and just make
it's
sure that
really
it's done?
Yeah. Yeah.
Tell us, share it.
Well, there's brands valued at $1 billion all the time. And I remember when I first started Cheekbone in like 2018, that's when like Drunk Elephant was acquired by Shiseido for like almost $1 billion. Glossier was like value. I was like, and of course you just see Rode sold for over $1 billion. I'm like, why can't we build a $1 billion brand? And my mission now is, and it's not just going to be about color cosmetics, I'm writing a book right now. It's defining this term, indigenous beauty. So in the world of beauty, everyone is familiar with Korean beauty. That is epic skincare. Japanese beauty is like this ritualistic beauty. French beauty is like perfume and red lipstick. Indigenous beauty, the world is going to know that that is synonymous with authentic sustainability. And the book defines that, and that's a category that we pioneered.
Can we just like put out our like collective manifestation to the world? Because I feel like $1 billion is like bandied about as if it's like every, like we're hearing about it so often, but yeah.
It's really hard to do.
So
I was like, I know I'm not gonna do it alone with these 6 people, because we're still a very small company. We only have 6 full-time people, but I'm also on this mission to hit, I think with 6 people, our goal is to hit like 25 million before we have to hire more full-time people. And it's really interesting that you can do a lot of stuff with contracts, just saying, putting that out there for you.
Yes. Jen, thank you so much for this wonderful chat. I mean, we had the chance, I've had the chance to chat with you a few times, and I feel like every time we chat, I'm learning something different and exploring and discovering a different part of your journey. And it's just been such an honor to be able to have you share that with our audience, have you share that with us. And I'm just want you to win in as many ways as possible.
Thank you for having me.
That's a wrap on this episode of Mission Critical. If today's conversation gave you something to think about, do me a favor, subscribe, leave a review, and share it with someone who needs to hear it. Big ideas are meant to be shared, and the best insights only matter if they're put into action.
Until next time, stay sharp, stay curious, and go and make something happen. I'm Lance Chung, and this is Mission Critical.